아기리 번호 다리 Yasuranam nannam rajajanaram nannam Jamunatiravamuchari Jaya Radhamadhava Kunjavihari Gopi Janaballava Girivana Dhari Yasura Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tera Vamachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivana Dhari Yasuranam nanna braja janaram janna Yamunna tira manchare Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jai Nitya Lila Pravista Asta Tarasata Sisi Manas Divine Grace Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siya Dvaita Sugadadha Shivasati Gauru Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Shamasunda Gopa Gopinath Shamkunda Radha Pindagiri Govanan Ki Jai Grant the Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gauru Pimanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the Asama devotees. All glories to the Asama devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 4, text number 23. Bhutai Mahadvir Yahima Pura Vibhur. Nirmaya Sete Yada Musha Purusham Bhunkte Gunam Sodasha Sodashatmaka Solankrishita Bhagavan Vachamsime Bhutai Mahavir Yahimam Pura Vibhur Nirmaya Siti Yaramusa Purusha Bhunkte Gunam Sodasha Sodashatmaka Solangrishita Bhagavan Pachamsime Bhutair Mahadbir Yahima Pura Vibhur Nirmaya Siti Yaramusa Purusha Bhunkte Gunam Sodasha Sodashatmaka Solangri Shita Bhagavan Vachamsime. Please chant. Die by the elements, Mahabir, of material creation. Yeah,
he who,
Ima, all these,
Pura,
bodies,
Vibhu,
of the Lord,
Nirmaya,
for being set up,
Sati,
lie down,
yet
Amusu. One who incarnated. Purusha. Lord Vishnu. Mukte.
Causes to be subjected.
Gunan.
The three modes of
nature.
Sodasha.
In 16 divisions. Sodasha
Atmaka.
Being the generator of these 16. Sa.
He,
Alankrishita,
may decorate
Bhagavan,
personality of Godhead,
Vachamsi,
statements,
me, mine.
Translation.
May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens the material created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who, in his Purusha incarnation, causes the living being to be subjected to the 16 divisions of material modes, which are his generator, be pleased to decorate my statements. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As a fully dependent devotee, Sukadeva Goswami, unlike a mundane person who's proud of his own capability, invokes the pleasure of the personality of Godhead so that his statements may be successful and be appreciated by the hearers. The devotee always thinks of himself as instrumental for anything successfully carried out, and he declines to take credit for anything done by himself. The godless atheist wants to take all credit for activities, not knowing that even a blade of grass cannot move without the sanction of the Supreme Spirit, the Personality of Godhead. Sukadeva Goswami, therefore, wants to move by the direction of the Supreme Lord who inspired Brahma to speak the Vedic wisdom. The truths described in the Vedic literatures are not theories of mundane imagination, nor are they fictitious, as the less intelligent class of men sometimes think. The Vedic truths are all perfect descriptions of the factual truth, without any mistake or illusion. And Sukadeva Goswami wants to present the truths of creation not as a metaphysical theory of a philosophical speculation, but as the actual facts and figures of the subject, since he would be dictated to by the Lord exactly in the same manner as Brahmaji was inspired. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord is himself the father of the Vedanta knowledge, and it is he only who knows the factual purport of the Vedanta philosophy. So there is no greater truth than the principles of religion mentioned in the Vedas. Such Vedic knowledge or religion is disseminated by authorities like Sukadeva Goswami because he is a humble devotional servitor of the Lord who has no desire to become a self-appointed interpreter without authority. That is the way of explaining the Vedic knowledge, technically known as the Parampara system, or descending process. The intelligent man can see without mistake that any material creation, whether one's own body or a fruit or a flower, cannot beautifully grow without the spiritual touch. The greatest intelligent man of the world, or the greatest man of science, can present everything very beautifully only insofar as the spirit life is there, or in so much as the spiritual touch is there. Therefore, the source of all truths is the Supreme Spirit and not gross matter, as wrongly conceived by the gross materialist. We get information from the Vedic literature that the Lord himself first entered the vacuum of the material universe, and thus all things gradually developed one after another. Similarly, the Lord is situated as the localized Paramatma in every individual being. Hence, everything is done by him very beautifully. The 16 principal creative elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and the 11 sense organs, first developed from the Lord himself and were thereby shared by the living entities. Thus, the material elements were created for the enjoyment of the living entities. The beautiful arrangement behind all material manifestations is therefore made possible by the energy of the Lord, and the individual living entity can only pray to the Lord to understand it properly. Since the Lord is the supreme entity, different from Sukadeva Goswami, the prayer can be offered to him. The Lord helps the living entity to enjoy material creation, but he is aloof from such material enjoyment. Sukadeva prays for the mercy of the Lord, not only for being helped personally in presenting the truth, but also for helping others to whom he would like to speak. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmalitam Yenatasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Lam Jayati Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pacharini Nirvisesha Sanyavari Paskachadi Shatarini Panchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhahevacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisance is unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. Wow. When I first read this verse, I was really quite astonished. I think if I were challenged to pick one word to capsulize the entire thoughts, the complete mood of this verse, it would have to be amanita, humility. The mood of humility is essential for a qualification of the sadhaka, for one who's practicing on the path of devotional service, of bhakti. This mood of humility is the topmost jewel of such a personality. It should be the topmost jewel of such a personality. The type of thinking, this whole thought process like that, the mindset of that, is completely foreign to the materialist. They think themselves to be the doers of everything. This idea of humbly putting others forward, and this is just not something that fits into the mindset of a materialistic person. Now, while this attitude of being the doer is important, if one is going to be successful in one's own motivation or one's endeavors in this world, the claim of taking full responsibility is simply another manifestation of the false ego. That's the reality. We have to push ourselves a bit, put ourselves forward a bit to be successful, but the mood that we accept that success with is what determines whether or not we have any humility. What makes a great personality appreciated? If they have humility, they're humble in their successes. Upon receiving a great award or some trophy or various accolades that someone receives, if they get up and say, "I'd like to thank myself for being all that I did because, after all, I'm really good at it." Now, we've recently heard someone that did that a lot, and it didn't gain them a lot of appreciation. Everyone looks at that as sheer arrogance. Yet, when we see the humility manifest by such a recipient of these various kinds of awards, and it begins with thanking all those who came before them that made their success possible, and thanking all those who facilitated their being able to be successful, that's humility. And whether it's genuine humility or false facade for the presentation purposes, that we'll set aside for another conversation. But the understanding is that this type of humility is always a better perspective, a better objective, a better presentation of one's activities. Now, it's quite fitting, of course, that the topmost speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sukadeva Goswami himself, who is without any question filled with all good qualities and pureness, that he should set the example and submit himself, as Prabhupada says in the purport, as a fully dependent devotee. Fully dependent devotee. This is also a phrase that materialists don't like so much. Fully dependent. Especially for those of us who identify ourselves as independent Americans. This idea goes against the very grain, you know. Completely independent. We can do anything. We don't need anybody. We're all, you know, so on like that. Now, having raised children and now having grandchildren of my own, this is the ardent desire of every living being from a very early age to be independent. How many times have we parents heard the following phrase? "No, I can do it by myself." We've all heard, any of us that have raised children, we've all heard that. Everything in our growing, everything in our moving forward is geared towards being independent of our parents, of our teachers, of our elders, until at some point we begin to realize how actually much dependent we are on these persons. As the much respected author, thinker, and satirist Mark Twain once said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to be around the old man. But by the time I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. So this is the way it goes. In our youth, we tend to have this striving for independence and not acknowledging our influences, our input from those that are politically above us. So this is, without a doubt, the opposite thinking of a spiritually practiced person. Now, we can put forth the question, and reasonably so, why does a devotee think in this manner? Do they have a problem with self-esteem? Are they insufficient in their confidence? This would be, you know, topics of various seminars to encourage one to be more bold, you know. But the truth is noted right in the opening lines of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of this particular verse of the Bhagavatam. The devotee invokes the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that his statements may be successful and be appreciated by the hearers. The devotee always thinks of himself as instrumental for everything successfully carried out. Instrumental. That means something that was used to achieve that goal. I grew up in school. I was always involved in the orchestra. And there are so many different instruments there. And each of those instruments play together to bring out the symphony. If you're playing, my favorite was always Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, because there are two parts. I was in the percussion section. There are two parts in the 1812 Overture where you have double row hung chimes, and you have double wooden mallets and 48 measures of freehand going on these chimes. And you always had to be a little conscious, because if you've got wooden mallets and chimes and 48 measures to go at it, you can get a little carried away. You have to remember, you're one instrument in the entire orchestra. Now, while at that part in the 1812 overtures, there's lots of banging and cannons and this and that, the same point is that you're just a part of it. So if you get too carried away, maybe if you get to count and all of a sudden you do 50 measures, well, you've just ruined the whole thing. So, very important here. A devotee thinks himself as instrumental in the successes of spiritual life. This is how we should see that the Lord is using us, that the spiritual master is using us, and that by this mentality, we can contribute to the overall completion. By each instrument in the symphony playing the part they're given with respect for the other parts also being played, the symphony sounds very good. So I thought of this with this particular quote here, how significant it was. This seeking the blessings is very, very important. At the beginning of every homa that we do here, there's an opening activity called the Sankalpa. Now, the Sankalpa requests the participants and the Lord himself to give their blessings so that the activity can be completed and carried out. And this is if the ceremony is not done with the Sankalpa, it's considered incomplete. Oh, I don't need any of this. I know all these mantras. I'll just sit down and light and go. No. My dear participants, my dear Lord, please bless it. This will go on. This is the Sankalpa. Now, the Vedic literatures, they're filled with various and assorted prayers by the Acharyas with requests for the blessings of the Lord so that they can execute their service, not only for the benefit of the Lord, but for the benefit of the Lord's devotees. This is, after all, as a devotee who we're doing service for, not only the Lord, but for his devotees. Krishna plainly says that if you want to be my devotee, you should be the devotee of my devotee. Krishna is very satisfied when we serve his devotees. Krishna is very pleased when we have a mood of humility towards his devotees. We glorify his devotees. So this is the mood of a Vaishnava. Not just that I'm doing service for Krishna, but that I'm doing service for others. As it says here, statements that my statements may be successful and appreciated by the hearers. The hearers are the devotees. It's not non-devotees that come to hear the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam's daily recitation is attended by those who are following the path of the Bhagavatam. Others, they have no interest. They do not, Prabhupada used to say all the time, you know, you don't see so many people coming, you know, we have a small number of people here in our temples compared to the greater society. But those people that are coming, these persons, they are the devotees, and we want to serve them. Serve them in so many ways. Now, this brings me to a secondary point. How we prepare ourselves for making such presentations. Now, I've spoken a couple of times recently with Tama Harper, but we were discussing about preparing for speaking on the Bhagavatam, speaking in a class situation like this. And while there are certainly some self-realized persons and practitioners on this path of bhakti yoga, then you just sit right down and speak from their heart, or as we say, off the top of their heads, there is a certain respect for the hearers that comes from preparing in advance. Now, please don't misunderstand that I'm saying if you're one of those people that can just sit down and talk with no preparation, that's wrong. That's not a criticism. Everybody has their different nature. But for those who, not unlike myself and others that I respect greatly, cannot speak without copious notes in front of them, the need to take time in advance to study, to read, to prepare the subject matter that's going to be spoken on is very essential. You know, there's something to be said for, out of respect for others, trying to present something nicely. And this, just as a side note, by the way, is one reason why it's such a disturbance when the speaker for the class that day does not show up, something I have been guilty of doing once or twice from time to time. But this mood of whether it's to read the verse and just become acquainted with what's there and think over different thoughts in the head, whether it's to prepare, you know, long-winded written notes or, you know, whatever it is, some effort to be ready to speak the Bhagavatam out of respect to Srila Prabhupada for what he's given us, out of respect to the Bhagavatam, and out of respect to the hearers. So this, at any rate, is why Sukadeva Goswami is shown making some effort to prepare himself by begging the Lord for his mercy and for his blessings. And why not? As Prabhupada states here, Sukadeva Goswami sees himself as a humble devotional servitor of the Lord who has no desire to become a self-appointed interpreter. Self-appointed interpreter. We have many of those in this country. Many of those who are fully competent to point out the faults of everyone else on everything. Let's pray that we do not become self-appointed interpreters. So in this way, making oneself a suitable recipient for the mercy of the Lord by making an endeavor to approach the Lord for his blessings, they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand because it requires one to have a mood of humility, and it requires one to want to say something satisfying to the hearers. Say something that will enliven persons. And it's important to note, as this verse very clearly explains, it's not that the individual speaker has any great power. I mean, some of our devotees are extremely advanced, there's no question. But the ability to speak on the Bhagavatam comes from the blessings of the Lord, comes from the blessings of the spiritual master. So now, the second half of this purport, Prabhupada moves on to a very clear and precise definition of who is intelligent. And that would be one who distinguishes spirit from matter. One who understands that matter comes from spirit and not the opposite way around. Plain and simple. And this was, of course, a very strong driving point of Srila Prabhupada's preaching. His express goal, as stated in his pranams, is to deliver the world from nirvishesha sunyavadi, impersonalism and voidism. And this comes from understanding that matter comes from spirit. Prabhupada was very strong on this point, that famous book, Life Comes from Life, that actually originated from some morning walks in Los Angeles on the beach there. And Prabhupada was grilling the devotees, you know, challenging them on these points. He wanted that we very clearly understood this point. Actually, sometimes on Prabhupada's morning walks, he was so expert. He would challenge the devotees, you know, and then they would say this, that, and the other. And then he would take the opposing point of view and challenge and still defeat the devotees. Take any sides like that. So Prabhupada very much wanted this to be understood because he considered this to be the greatest detriment to spiritual consciousness, is this impersonalism and voidism. Now, to support this point of understanding that matter comes from spirit, not the other way around, Prabhupada doesn't ask for blind acceptance. He doesn't just, without any facts or information, put something out there and expect it to be taken as is. Prabhupada quotes extensively the Vedic literatures, and he quotes extensively their deep explanation of the process of creation, breaking it down very clearly so that it's easy to be understood, and presenting the fundamental elemental principles of creation. As he mentioned, 16 here. There's the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Then there's the five knowledge-acquiring senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, and the skin. Then there's the five sense objects of those five acquiring senses, sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste. And then the 16th being the mind. All together, these make up what's called the pradana. Actually, even more than these. In the third canto, the Bhagavatam is a very, very full description of how all of the 24 elements, the eight additional ones beyond these 16, make up this pradana, which is like the creation, creative element, and that the super soul then enters in, and so on and so on, all the way it breaks down like this. And so there's no lack of information available to us about how the spirit is the foundation of creation. Matter doesn't just come from nowhere, from someplace. It just happens, mix it all up. And, you know, Prabhupada would love to challenge that, you know. So if that's true, then take those same chemicals and mix it, and let life come from that, you know. So very, very important life. So this is easy to understand if we study. And we should study. We're required to study. We should know the information in our books. Prabhupada said we should know these books like a lawyer knows his law books. There was a recent class I heard, and Prabhupada said he was looking for a verse. What is that verse? What is that verse? And no one could give it. He said, "You have read the books?" No, we do not read the books. The Prabhupada responded, No, we do not read your books. We only sell them." And Prabhupada posed himself as a person on the street. "Oh, you're selling this book. Have you read it?" No, we do not have time to read it. We never read it. We just sell them. We don't know what's in them." Prabhupada said, "No, you have to read these books." So we have to study these books. Now, there are some sections of the Bhagavatam that are very entertaining stories and pastimes and, you know, very, very engrossing. And then there are some sections that are detailed teachings of the functions of the universe. Each side, each one of these has to be understood and respected. As Prabhupada said, if one thinks, "Oh, I like the Krishna and the gopis, but I do not care for Krishna on the battlefield." He said, no, this is illusion. We have to understand the entire presentation of our philosophy in all of its aspects. I was thinking, as I read this in the purport here, Prabhupada says, an intelligent man can see without mistake that any material creation, whether one's own body or a fruit or flower, cannot beautifully grow without the spiritual touch. And that presence of the spirit soul can be found in the most unexpected ways. I have this compost in my backyard. It's all the way in the back of the backyard. And we take, you know, whatever food particles and peelings and, you know, so on from the kitchen, take it out and dump it there. And occasionally I remember to take it out and rake it up so it does something. I don't know what I would ever do with it. You know, if we had pigs, they'd be real happy. But at any rate, so various things grow out of there. You know, I've got a couple of avocado trees, and I've had mango trees grow out of there from the seeds. I noticed the beginning of the spring, this kind of vine came out one side of the compost. And continued on a bit. The vine itself is really no bigger than my thumb in diameter. It has now grown 40 feet across my yard. It has taken up an area almost the width of this section of the temple room. And it's got no sign of stopping. Now, nobody put anything there. Nobody arranged for anything. Just some seed was there. And by the presence of all the elements, the soul, boom. And now, it's growing. It's totally independent of the compost that it came from. And now it's starting to produce beautiful flowers. Well, I don't know much about, you know, growing. I'm not a farmer. I can't even maintain a very good garden. I can grow Tulsi and a few flowers. But so my friends have told me this is winter squash. Huge, big leaves and these beautiful yellow flowers. And so now the yellow flowers are starting to mature into fruits. And so soon we'll have some squash to offer to Gary Raj. So this is, as Prabhupada says here, this is all something that an intelligent person can understand happens because of the presence of the spirit soul. So this is a very, very important understanding. Like I say in the third canto, this is very, very expanded in great detail. So it's important we understand all these different aspects of our philosophy, not just the pastimes, but the details so that we can be able to present them to others. So what are we left with once that's all said and done? Well, as Prabhupada says here, the individual living entity can only pray to the Lord to understand things properly. Whenever I hear something like this, I remember this one statement Prabhupada made. Some questions were being asked that were a bit off the charts or whatever. And Prabhupada's response was, with your pea-like brain, you cannot understand these things. So it's not possible on our own just to, you know, we have to have the mercy of the Lord. We have to receive that mercy in all aspects of our life. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in his Bhajana Laslasa from the Sharanagati, he says, your mercy is all that I am made of. Now, that particular prayer is directed to the spiritual master, but the reality is the spiritual master is the immediate representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so that prayer is suitable. As Sukadeva Goswami says right here, may you be pleased to decorate my statements. It's the common habit of the living entity to babble on endlessly. We all know people like that. You know, they just, there's no end to their talking. Now, fortunately for devotees, they know the proper subject matter to talk about. Sometimes we have to associate with persons in other environments than Krishna Katha, and they just go on and on and on. Sometimes I'll get a customer at the store, and instead of just asking me, where do I find such and such, they have to give me the entire history of the building that that part is in and what caused it to deteriorate and who built it and when it was established and why it's rotted and how to, I mean, just let me show you the part. I don't need all that information. But it's the nature of the living entity. You just go. So we have to therefore pray to the Lord to give us the ability to have the intelligence of what to properly say. And that's what Sukadeva Goswami is doing here. Sukadeva Goswami is completely qualified to just sit down and speak. Totally self-realized. Heard the Bhagavatam directly from Srila Vyasadeva, his father. Understood everything. So there was no need. He'd already received all the mercy. But in the assembly of speaking to others, he requested that mercy of the Lord particularly. This is the meaning of Acharya, that everything they do is an example. Every activity they take, just on Prabhupada's Vyaspuja, just a couple of days ago, so many people give so many nice examples of what Prabhupada did for us, how his very life was an example for us to be able to act and move and know how to go on. So this mood of praying for the mercy of the Lord. And this mood, it goes into any service we render. We shouldn't think it's only for, you know, oh, I can easily cook the Sunday feast. Oh, I can easily manage the society. Oh, I can easily mop the floor. Whatever it is that we're doing, we need to beg for the mercy of the Lord to complete anything. I remember when I was, speaking of mopping the floor, I remember when I was a young brahmachari, I'd only just joined the temple a week or two, and so my first service was to clean the toilets. You know, you kind of start at the bottom rung, I guess, and work your way up. So, you know, and there was this one devotee that got to sweep and mop the temple room. And I always thought to myself, one day, I'll get to sweep and mop the temple room. And, you know, then eventually, you know, I'm washing the pots, you know. One day, I'll get to sweep and mop the temple room. So finally, got promoted. Prabhu, we've changed the scheduling around on the duties in the temple. We want you to sweep and mop the temple room. Yes! So I get to be, and at that time in the morning when we did our chores around the temple, the deities were open. So you knew that you were directly being witnessed in what you were doing by the Lord. And that you were doing something purely for his satisfaction, because this was his room. Now, granted, the entire temple, the entire world is the abode of the Lord, and we should see like that. But there's something very special about knowing that the Lord's watching you. So, you know, we need to beg for that mercy to be successful in anything that we do. Just like when circumambulating Govardhan Hill, there's a particular prayer that one prays to Govardhan and begs for his mercy to remove asesha klesha, all obstacles and troubles from the past. Namaste Giriyajaya Shri Govardhan Namane Asesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Dayane. Sometimes you get about a portion around the hill and just, oh, I'm so tired. Asesha klesha, asesha klesha, asesha klesha, my Lord, please remove these obstacles. Let me be successful in circumambulating here. So, you know, removing the obstacles from the path. This is the mood of any speaker of the Bhagavatam. Or any message that comes from the Bhagavatam. That they should want obstacles to be removed. This is why acharyas like Lochan Das Thakur in the beginning of his Bhagavat Mangala, Chaitanya Mangala, he prays to Ganapati to remove any obstacles in his completing the writing of this book. He prays to Mother Saraswati to please allow him to write very nicely, beautiful words in the glorification of the Lord. And then ultimately he prays to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bless him to be able to relay the pastimes. So this should be our mood when we're speaking in this way. And what is that mood? It's just captured in these last few sentences of Prabhupada's purport. To pray for the mercy of the Lord, not only for being helped personally in presenting the truth, but also for helping others to whom we would like to speak the truth to. Very important point. Not only for being personally helped in speaking, but for helping those who will hear. Many times you read in all the different writings of the Acharyas that, you know, they'll give Palasuti, which is the blessing at the end, that those that hear, those that recite, you know, all of these different blessings are given like that. So when one is writing these books, when one is speaking on the philosophy, one is not simply doing so for the benefit of the Lord, because the Lord likes to hear these things, but so that the devotees that hear will also be benefited. But to do that, one has to be an instrument of the Lord. One has to see themselves as receiving the mercy of the Lord to be able to give the mercy. So these are some nice things I thought of when I read this verse, and I thought, wow, Sukadeva Goswami himself, the supreme speaker of the Bhagavatam, is actually begging to the Lord, please decorate my statements, decorate. Alankrishita. This is one of the 16 upacharas offered. Alankar. Alankar means to give some decorations. When you put necklaces on the deity, so Alankara, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya, whatever your mula mantra is. So Alankarishta, to decorate. So let me words be decorated. So anyway, nice meditation there. May we be decorated by the blessings of the Lord in all the activities that we perform. We'll finish there. Anybody has any questions, comments? Probably not. This is such a deep verse, but a really fun verse. Yeah. So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.